Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Thursday afternoon. Trillville Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Hour number two. NFL No Huddle just a couple of minutes away. We will kind of do two things at 12:20. Brian Bohannon is going to join us, the head coach of the Kennesaw State football team. They had a huge win last night, upsetting Liberty. Liberty's first loss of the year, Kennesaw's first win of the year. A lot of cool storylines there to get into with Coach. We'll also spend some time just on college football in general, looking ahead to the Saturday that will be big games on the schedule for a lot of schools. So we'll get there, and then we'll get to the back page with Bo coming up at 12:40 as well. Noon hour, as always, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing.
There's a power slap event that is starting right now in Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
Would you be offended if I pulled it up on the computer here and watched it during the show?
I mean, offended isn't the right word. Don't let it affect your
performance. Concern for distraction.
You know
what
I mean? Yeah. Like, let's not, don't be like, you know, missing questions to coach, you know?
What's that, Coach? Sorry, I heard a guy got slapped in the face.
Sorry, Coach, I was watching these two dudes slap each other.
They take turns.
How do you, I mean, I...
You don't want to ask this,
I'm going to regret, but I'm going to... How do you know that? Why do you know that?
Well, so Power Slap was bought by, like, Dana White and UFC, so, like, if
I... Okay, but that part, like, the way you said that was like a... Well, obviously, everybody knows this, so... You started with the thing that...
You know me. There's a lot of things I do or know that... Maybe I treat more as common knowledge just because I'm so familiar with it. Like you asked me yesterday, like, do you know hunters? I'm like, yeah, just rattle off two of them, three of them. I don't know. I have a weird brain, man.
There's no
should be studied
truer statement
now
that's ever
or
been
after,
said on this show. Abe, comma, weird brain. That might be mentioned later in the show. And again, we try to maintain a level of truth on this program, right? You just nailed it. It's true. We all have weird brains. Right? We're all weird. A little weird in one way or the other.
Some of ours should be studied more than others.
Everybody's got their quirks. Everybody's got their quirks. Let's get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. Week 8 begins tonight. Minnesota Vikings, who are 5-1, taking on the Los Angeles Rams, who are not, but are tough, man. The Rams are just going to play you tough. They're 2-4, but... They're dealing with a million different injuries, and that's the Thursday night football matchup tonight. Vikings were in just an absolute barn burner against the Lions on Sunday, so on a short week, we'll see how that shows up. I think we all, if you needed convincing, I think Sunday helped convince that the Vikings were for real. Like, they're one of the for real
100%
teams in the
agree. NFC. Yeah. Playing competitive game, whether you win or lose.
Yeah.
I think Packers and Texans both, despite the Texans' struggles offensively, both showed something. Yeah. And same thing for that Lions-Vikings. When you come down to it with the Rams, we know Cooper Kupp's kind of been talked about on the trade block, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Are you looking at if you're is there any team that would be looking at Stafford at this point? Because I know that comes up. They've kind of addressed it a little bit this week. It comes with the territory and all that. But, I mean, are they still trying to win this season?
It's so hard because they're just, I think if they were not injured, I think that they probably could, because they've been competitive in most games, even with all the injuries. I think they're trying to win until Stafford retires. I think that's kind of where it's at. Like, as long as Stafford's there and healthy and attempting to compete, I think they kind of stay all in with him. As soon as Stafford's ready to, whether it's a trade or he's ready to retire or whatever it is, then maybe you hit the reset button and try to go that direction. But as long as you have him and he's there trying to win, I think you're trying to win too.
I guess. I'm going to be honest just about the Rams. It felt like their window closed when Aaron Donald retired.
Fair.
Just me.
No, it's fair.
He was so impactful on that side of the ball.
He was the best player in football for a decade. Outside of quarterbacks, but yeah.
Yeah, it just I didn't see it coming together, even if they were healthy.
That division's weird, though, because if they're able to get healthy, like, the Cardinals are fine, but I don't buy them.
Niners are banged up.
The Niners are so weird because they had that performance a couple weeks ago where they actually looked pretty good against Seattle. And then last week they come out and Kittle's banged up again. Deebo Samuel tries to play, but he's got pneumonia. And now he's even sicker than he was. Ayuk gets hurt. He's out.
He's done.
Their most healthy receiver got shot in the chest in August.
Well, they have Juwan Jennings, I think.
but for the sake of the, you know what I mean? It's kind of fun if that was, he's back.
I actually, when you speak about Pearsall, I'm actually really excited to see him in the role now that he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have a choice.
They got to throw it to him.
I think he's a good receiver.
And yeah, for sure.
I thought there was a huge opportunity for him to be buried on the depth chart behind guys. And that opportunity got taken away. And now he's got to go out there and ball.
I mean, they drafted him in the first round. I mean, they expect him to be a good player. Obviously, getting shot in the chest kind of puts you behind the eight ball.
You're still a clear fourth target.
Sure. But eventually they had high hopes for what he was going to be. But yeah, it comes sooner than probably they would have thought. And we saw the Seahawks last week. They're fine. I think they're a solid team, but I don't think anybody's terrified of them. So that division just sort of in and of itself is open to me. Like
yeah.
The Rams are 2-4, but I think they're still in it if they can get healthy. All right. Like we said, week 8 starts tonight between the Vikings and the Rams. Let's hear from Raheem talking about that loss to Seattle being a wake-up call.
There's not a loss in this game that I've ever had that hadn't been a lesson. And I think we all got to take that into consideration. Like you go out in those type of games and it was a little bit flat from our standpoint, from everything. And like, we got to come out ready to go. You know, they were clearly the fresher team. They wanted it a little bit more than us and they got the win for whatever reason, like I said, at halftime and like at the end of the game, I believe. And it's like, we got to figure those things out and go out here in our practice preparation and our process and get it back.
Special teams coordinator Marquise Williams was on with us at the beginning of the show. He said energy's been good this week. Feels like everybody's ready to bounce back from what happened on Sunday against Seattle, and I don't doubt it. I mean, you know, performances like that happen sometimes, not to explain it away or justify it. It's still very frustrating, but sometimes when they do, they can serve as a reminder that that's possible.
There's some – look, you better take something good out of that game. It can't be all negative. Did we ask – not we – but like, was Raheem asked if he? I'm sure everyone asks this question when you have a performance like that. Was there anything in the week leading up that made you think it was coming? Has a coach ever admitted?
No, I don't think a coach.
Like, we saw it this week, and we just couldn't find our way out of it.
It came out Thursday.
Carried into game day.
And these guys just weren't. Like, Kirby says it. He'll be like, this is the worst week of practice we've ever had.
Right.
But that's just to kind of get him fired up for Saturday. And then
has he ever said it's the best week of practice we've ever had?
No. There's never been a good week of practice.
It's like ahead of Mississippi State.
I'm sure he said that as well.
You better learn something from it.
We'll let you hear, speaking of Kirby, let you hear a little bit of what he had to say to the Steakhouse earlier today as well. Good long conversation with him this morning. We'll get to that in about 15 minutes. I liked what he had to say about Carson Beck. Because to me, Carson Beck, now if you're sort of trying to figure out what's the next ingredient, because what they did to Texas was remarkable. It's even more remarkable that they did it with him playing the way that he did.
Right.
If he's able to get back to his level from last year, which there's no reason to think that he can't. Like, he's healthy and he's the same guy. Then look out. I mean, that I don't think anybody can beat that team. All right, back to the NFL, though. Let's hear from Dave Canales. He's the head coach in Charlotte, talking about who his starter is going to be on Sunday.
Scary moment for sure. Everyone was okay. Everyone was healthy. Unfortunately, in the accident, he did sprain his thumb. So Bryce will be playing this week, and we'll be evaluating Andy day to day going into this weekend to see if we can get him up as the two on game day.
Yes, so Andy Dalton and his family got in a car accident earlier this week. Sounds like everybody's okay, which is good, other than Andy Dalton's thumb on his throwing hand, which of all the places, I've been in a lot of car accidents. Not a lot. I've been in a couple car accidents.
Say, I mean,
never sprained my thumb, but you know what? Anything can happen. You never know what's going to happen.
Can you help me out with something? Something Dave Canales said at the end of that cut. If he's good enough to be the two, I've never understood this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's got to be good enough to be the one.
They were looking for a reason.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, giving him another chance to show something.
I think they have to.
I asked you our week, like, where's this team going? What are they doing?
Yeah.
And
they have to. They're 1-6. He's the number one overall pick from a year and a half ago, from one draft
theory ago.
You have to try to see if you have anything in him. And then if you just flat out don't, then you move on.
Because you're
going
to have one of the top draft picks, and you need to know for sure.
Yeah.
Do we want a conspiracy theory this?
I don't know. How weird is it? Is it Chupacabra weird from the other day, or how are we?
Someone brought in to get a little sideswipe to the Daltons for the excuse.
Or
it was a plant.
Or remember the episode in Breaking Bad when Walter White got in a wreck on purpose?
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to get caught with the meth lab? Maybe Andy Dalton was like, enough. I don't want to be the starter for this team anymore. Driving on, but he's got his wife and kids in the car. He's probably not going to do that. No, I don't think they would have hired
A driver. I don't think
to hit. But anyway, Bryce Young will be back out there against the Broncos, who have a very good defense. So might be a tough day for old Bryce. Let's hear from Devontae Adams talking about what his role isn't now that he's a Jet.
You know, I'm not here to be the savior. Everybody was looking, you know, the whole world. Trump was at the game. I don't know if that's because of me or not, but, I mean, everybody's sitting here expecting it to be, you know, me go out there and put up 200 yards and three tugs. But, you know, that's a storybook ending to it, and obviously that would have been amazing if that happened. But I'm here to help shift this culture more than anything. You know, I can go out there and make the plays that I can make and try to, you know, influence the guys, you know, as much as I can. But I'm trying to enforce a winning mindset on these guys.
All right. Well, that would be good. You can say change the culture after the coach has been fired, by the way. If Saleh was still there, you couldn't say that because he's still there.
Right.
But, yeah, now that they've already made these – I don't know, man.
You heard?
The juice isn't worth the squeeze on that team. I don't care about the Jets.
Did you hear?
They suck and they're uninteresting. That's my opinion on them.
But the speech that he gave after Sunday night
– Who?
Devontae.
No.
He steps into the locker room and starts, I don't know how impassioned it was about the energy on the sideline. He's there to change the swag and the culture.
Got it.
And Aaron Rodgers says it was like the greatest speech, most inspiring stuff he's heard in 20 years of quarterbacking football. I'm like, all right, man, calm down.
Well, they have the
couldn't have been that good.
They have the Patriots on Sunday, so.
Maybe the speech mattered. They'll get a win.
They better beat those guys. We said the same thing last week about the Jags. You got to beat the Patriots, man. Their coach did call him soft after that game, though, so maybe that
was...
What
are they going to do, fire the interim?
Right.
They got in Hackett on staff. He's been a head coach
before. Who is it, Jeff Ulbrich. Yeah, they're not going to know. I like that guy.
What if they did? Just, like go Jeff through, Ulbrich. Like, five different head coach interims
good
this year.
Good beard. One of the best beards,
I think, good Midwestern guy, I feel like.
I don't know. Is he?
I think he did spend some time in Cleveland. And
he was here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's about all I got
to say about
that matchup.
You see, Saleh's back on the sidelines.
Where?
Green Bay.
What?
Him and LaFleur are tight.
What? They hired him?
It's a fluid role. Their terms, not mine.
Water boy? Like, what is
their terms, not mine. He's working with the offense.
That was not that bad of a joke. Fluid role?
That's good.
All right. We'll talk to a guy who was on the sidelines last night. Brian Bohannon. He's the head coach at Kennesaw State. They had a huge win against Liberty, previously unbeaten Liberty, no longer last night after Kennesaw got them. We'll talk to him about that win coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Love it. Love it, especially in celebratory fashion, as it certainly is. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. We'll get to the back page with Bo coming up in just a couple of minutes, but very happy to welcome to the show right now the head coach of the Kennesaw State football program, Brian Bohannon. Coach, how are you?
I'm having a good day. A little tired, but my tired is good today compared to the last few weeks.
Yeah, I imagine you're having a very good day after what was a really, really big, fun, impressive win last night. What does that win mean to the program?
It's huge for us. Obviously, all the first FBS win and, the big thing, I'll be honest with you, we're having a tough year trying to work through some stuff. And I was really proud of our kids and our staff. They hung together, kept fighting, and we found a way to go get it done last night. And I think it was just a great night for our program, great night for our kids.
Yeah, I want to follow up on that. And you mentioned kind of it's been a tough season, and I think we've seen it at other schools, and I don't need to single anyone out, but teams have tough years and kids quit, and we haven't seen that from your guys. They showed up inspired last night and got the job done against a previously unbeaten Liberty team. What has it taken from you and from them as well to stay focused and stay positive, upbeat about this season?
Well, I think it speaks volumes of the culture of our program. I think it speaks volumes of our kids, speaks volumes of our staff and how we've had to manage things along the way. And, it's a month and a half ago, and all I'm talking to them is just, hey, guys, if you'll stick together, I promise you something good's going to come of it. I said, I don't know when. I wish I had that crystal ball, but I promise you if y'all stick together and keep fighting, something good will happen. And to their credit, they were able to do that. And obviously last night was huge for us.
Yeah, no doubt. It was last night when that good thing happened. And I know it's, you know, it's about yourself. It's about controlling what you can control. But I have to imagine it feels a little extra nice to beat a team that was previously undefeated. And certainly, you know, no one's worried about this from your perspective, but a team that was favored to win last night as well. What does it mean to put that loss on their record?
Well, I mean, you know, as far as their record goes, I think the big thing is, one, we got the win. And obviously a team that there's some history with Kennesaw State and Liberty here, right? This is not the first time we've played them. Other sports have played them. So I think it was just a kind of an opportune moment for our program to kind of get some things done at one time. Mm-hmm.
It was a huge moment nationally last night, too, on the television, and I know a lot of people saw the victory. Who was the most surprising person, maybe biggest name, to reach out to you in the aftermath?
You know, it's crazy. I bet I got 100 texts, and I hadn't even been able to get through all of them from former players to Paul Johnson sent me a text last night. It's amazing. The number of people that reached out, and I think it for our program and our university to be in that spotlight was huge for us as well. So a lot of really good stuff.
Kennesaw State head football coach Brian Bohannon joining us on the show, midday show with Andy and Randy, talking about last night's win. You said you're tired. I'm sure you are. What do you do after a game like that? Like, obviously, at some point, you got to go home and go to sleep. But, like, what's the post-game? What do you say to the team in the locker room? How do you celebrate a little bit if you do? What does the evening look like after the game's finished? He didn't like that one. So I'm not telling you how I'm celebrating.
Maybe someone...
That's my business.
Oh boy.
maybe somebody called him.
Reaching him out.
He probably got a better call on the other line. He was like, oh, Paul Johnson's calling. I got to click over. If he calls back, we'll have him jump back on and ask him a couple of more questions about last night.
You think Paul Johnson's a call guy or a text guy?
Well, he said text, but
did he? Okay.
Yeah, but you'd have to think, you know, old school guy, old school mentality. Probably like to find a moment or two to call him and talk to him on the phone tonight. I mean, he played at Georgia back in the early 90s, so I imagine some of the Georgia teammates and
he was
stuff.
An assistant coach for Paul Johnson at Tech as well.
Right, so, yeah, man.
He's been in the Georgia, I mean, he's been coaching and he's been in Georgia almost his whole life, right? Mm-hmm. Graduated Georgia, went to West Georgia. He coached at Navy for a couple of years, I think. That may have been the Paul Johnson era.
I bet he's excited about how they're playing this season as well. It's another program.
For one more week?
Another program. Well, but you know what? You never know. We always act like we know, but we never know. Coach has called back. Coach, I was just asking how you celebrate a night like last night.
Well, I can promise you this. We celebrated the locker room. It's been a long time coming, and I told the guys after the game, I said, man, y'all go enjoy this. I don't want to see you tomorrow. Y'all go enjoy it. We'll worry about the next one, tomorrow, and because they deserve it. You know what I mean? I said they just wins are hard to come by. Yep. Obviously, I was just happy for our kids, and I didn't sleep last night because I think I was just excited and a lot of adrenaline. But I'm just happy for our kids and our program. I mean, this last couple months been tough now. You know, we're working through a transition, and I'm just proud of the way they stuck together.
Coach, really interested because you kind of had to win that game twice in a manner of speaking. It looked like it was over. The fans start coming on the field. You guys are celebrating. You think you've won, and the officials call it all back and say the ball was out of bounds. There's 1 second. What do you say, and how do you address your team in that moment to get them to refocus, to make sure they don't make a game-changing error in that final play? And you guys obviously handled it impeccably, and it was over before that play ever got underway. But what takes place in that moment between when they put a second back on the clock and your student-athletes have to go take the field again?
Well, you really don't have a lot of time to have a conversation. So you're just trying to get them all together, get the defensive kids together. Coach Harris, our defensive coordinator, we're just trying to get them all together to make sure they understand what we're trying to get accomplished in that moment. You know, the play before was a little different scenario than the last play. And so just trying to get them all together as quick as we can and get them focused back in. And they did a good job of it. We've been preaching about all the different stuff that's going on and And so I get our kids, our staff did a great job. It's unique. Really, I look at it, we got to celebrate twice, you know. We got to run out on the field once, and then not only that, we get to do it again. So, heck, we got to celebrate twice last night.
Let me ask you about last night. I don't want to say rank because it's such a hard thing to do. It happened last night. Every win is great and all of that. But you have the unique perspective of having been at Kennesaw State and with the football program since the football program started. So every win that has happened, you've been on the sidelines for. So I wonder from that perspective, from where you guys started in 15 and all the winning that you've done and then into last night, like how does last night compare to some of the other great moments that you've had as the head coach?
Yeah, so I told the team last night, I mean, we've won a lot of ball games around here. We've won conference championships. We've won playoff games. We've won five overtime games in Truist Park, right? We've done a lot of really great stuff here and had a lot of really great wins. But I told them last night, I said, guys, this is the best one we've had here. Hmm. And not just because of the historical moment, it's because of where we were. You know, you're sitting there 0-6, tough times. You got a bunch of kids that buy in, that go out and fight and find a way to get that first one. I think all of the circumstance with it's what made it really special. Obviously, all the things that go with it, but that one last night, for all the moments we've had here, I'm gonna be honest with you, it was probably the biggest win we've had here.
Cool.
When you take over the program back in 2013, and you've got 2 years before you even play football, and then you're a member there as the Big South Conference, was there any thought from you at that time that, hey, at some point we're going to be playing FBS football as part of our schedule, not just a bye game here or there? Did you foresee it at that time that you'd be making the leap?
No, not really. At the time, just to be honest, our goal was to be we wanted to, you know, make a name for ourselves in the FCS landscape, you know, and but you never know what might transpire. But at the time, I did not, you know, and here we are today, you know, and got a chance to have a huge win on national TV.
Yeah. Final question from me. And again, thanks for the time today. Congratulations on last night. I got to ask from the perspective of a dad myself, like you had the cool experience of playing football for your dad in high school. Now you get the cool experience of coaching two sons on the team last night. I know you're happy for everybody that won the game last night, but what's that like? What's it like winning a game, or just in general, being able to go out there every single day and do this job that you love with them there with you?
Yeah, I'm awfully blessed to have the opportunity to have them here where at least I can see them play.
Yeah.
If they were somewhere else, I might never see them play a game unless I watch it on TV or something. Might not see them. You know, and for all the good and the tough and all that goes with it, we're kind of in it together. And not just those two, my wife and my daughter as a family. You know, we're in this sucker together. But it's a blessing. You know, Braden, the younger one, came and found me after the game last night, and Blake had a heck of a catch late in the game on the sideline, which was huge for us in the moment. I missed him after the game, got him on the phone afterwards. But listen, it's a blessing. It's very fortunate, and those kids do a great job of working hard. The last thing they want to do is feel any different than anybody else, and they don't. Mm-hmm. But it's a blessing. Sometimes I think I have to remind myself how fortunate I am.
It's awesome. Congratulations on last night. We appreciate the time.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
That's Coach Brian Bohannon there, Kennesaw State football. They get a huge win last night, 27-24, over the previously undefeated Liberty Flames. Liberty, who were they undefeated last year? They made a big bowl game and played Oregon and had hopes of maybe making the college football playoff this year. No longer. Kennesaw State smashes those dreams last night and at the same time gets their first win as a member of Conference USA. Yeah, Blake Bohannon with two catches last night, one for 25 yards at the end. I mean, that's crazy. Winning a game like that's great anyway. Bo, you get to coach your daughter in softball. Like, can you imagine that?
Dude, that would be – like, we have – and I'm going to tell you about it in the next segment. We had a pretty big win last night, But I can only imagine what it must be going through his mind right now, having done that with his sons on the field.
I'm sitting there on Saturdays watching Lily play soccer, just begging her to stay on the field, you know. But when she is, just even watching her run around is amazing. Having a moment like that with your sons had to be very special. Thanks again to Coach for spending some time with us, and congratulations to him. And as he put it, he said it, the program. It's not a program. It's a program. I love it. We'll get to the back page with Bo coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, check this out. You already know this Trillville.
Yes, sir. You know you listening to Andy and Randy on a Trillville Thursday on what?
92.9.
The Game. Let's go.
Boone's theme song. Do you get it? Thuggish, ruggish Boone. You get it. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy. Trillville Thursday. Shout out here. Speaking of Boone. Shout out to Alatoona Turf. Alatoona Turf, I believe, is probably a company, but the man that runs the Alatoona Turf, or woman, Instagram account DM'd me, Tom Dokins Retriever Training, a guide to training your bird dog, because yesterday we were talking about that a little bit, and he was like, you really want to do it? Here's the book to read. So there we go. Maybe we'll get on that. We'll get Boot out there on some birds, finally.
Training a dog takes a lot of time, man.
Probably got to train myself, too, since I've never shot a bird before, but
right.
We'll get there.
Well, do they know if you succeed, or are they only, I'm talking about the dog, are they only concerned about whether they succeed?
Yeah, I really don't
know. They're like, I got the birds up, man. That's on you.
Well, the thing, Boone has succeeded many times.
Right.
Like, he's pointed at every bird he's ever seen, and he's scared them into the air thousands of times. I've failed thousands of times.
I was going to say, does he take it into his own hands at some point?
Well, with squirrels and chipmunks he has, and one bird one time. He did kill one bird right in front of our kids, which was very... The bird was okay. I was,
you know, circle of life.
It wasn't, but we lied. Also, a small, maybe baby, I don't know, probably, a small raccoon was hit on our road over the weekend, and that was a tough one for her, the little one. She's like, what happened to that little fox? I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's got tired and took a nap. Like, it's probably all right. And then, like, the next day it wasn't there. She was like, oh, it's gone. I was like, that's good. Probably it woke up and
woke
went
up
back
and
home.
Ran off, yeah.
Just went back home. That's all that happened, because obviously no one would run over on accident a baby raccoon and then leave it there. That would never happen. Of course that's not what happened. But anyway, shout out. Trying to help me out. Training my dog. Appreciate that. We'll get back into the big story of the day. Kick off the 1 o'clock hour. The Hawks win last night. Some impressive stuff involved in the win. Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20. Talk some Falcons with him, as we always do on Thursdays. And then the AMA coming up at 1:40 as well. Hey, thanks again to Brian Bohannon, head coach of the Kennesaw State football team. They get a huge win last night. He just joined us about 20 minutes ago. If you missed the interview, check it out. Good stuff. A lot of fun. A guy who's very, very fired up about that win last night, as well he should be. All right. With all that said, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Let's get to the back page with Bo. Every day at this time, Bo Johnson. Hello, Bo.
So speaking of big wins, shout out to the Norcross 10U Lady Blue Devils last night, as Juice Johnson finds herself in her very first pitching duel.
Okay.
So through five innings, scores, or through three innings, scores 3-2. That's when Olivia leaves the mound. She has six more strikeouts through three innings.
We were talking yesterday on the elevator down in the lobby about how you guys are working on a changeup.
We did throw the changeup. Okay. We threw it three times.
Easy on the scouting report.
Oh,
come on.
Oh, hey.
They may not know what's coming.
Anybody out there listening?
She pitched now. I didn't want to say it before. I would have never said it before she pitched, but she pitched last night, and I assume debuted the changeup.
Yeah, we threw it three times.
Okay.
She got a swing and miss on one changeup. She got one hit very hard to the outfield, and then she threw one over the catcher's head. So
which one happened first?
The swing and miss.
Okay.
The first one.
Because if the hard hit ball to the outfield happened first, she probably would be like, never again.
Don't go back to that pitch.
I'm not throwing that
pitch.
Well,
that's the thing about this age group, is sometimes slowing down a pitch is exactly what they want you to do.
Right.
But you get hitters up there that get to timing, and if you throw off that timing, you can't disrupt it, you know. So going into the top of the fourth inning, we gave up five runs, so that would made the score 8-4. Yeah. We needed five runs in the bottom of the fourth to come back and win, and we did it. Walked it off last night in the bottom of the fourth inning. Very
That's
exciting
awesome.
Win.
Can I ask,
great. Congrats.
You've lost twice to one certain team. Was this that team?
It was not.
Oh.
No.
This was
Collins Hill. We've lost twice to Buford. We should see Buford in the postseason tournament. We got two of those.
Bring it on, Buford. We got a change up now.
In about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
One of those losses apparently was in a no-hit effort. So.
Wow, Buford's got one of those pitchers, huh?
No. They threw no-hitter.
Oh, you guys
lost.
Did. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
And that was not Juice Johnson. That was our other little pitcher, Hollywood. But we're going to clean some things up.
Yo, she throws fire.
I love it.
Throws the ball really hard.
Throws fire.
I love it.
Speaking of side projects, Olivia's got a side project, too. She's actually playing a little bit of travel ball now, dipping her toe in. And congratulations to the Ryan Renegades, who last weekend brought home the championship, got a sweet little championship ring.
Oh, cool.
And one of the coach/dads actually listened. He was hearing me talk underneath one of the tents in between one of the games. He's like, man, every time I hear you talk, it makes me think somebody left the radio on. That's you, right?
Must be the back page.
I was like, yep. Must be listening to the back page. So shout out to Witt.
Hell yeah.
Who is one of the coach/dads.
Witt.
Oh, Witt.
That's the name of your favorite college football player, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, Whit Weeks, baller.
Dude, that guy's awesome. We'll talk about him tomorrow.
A friend of mine sent me that I texted y'all with, and I don't know if we can say it on the air.
I'll say it. I'll say his nickname on the air.
I don't know this.
It's not a bad word.
It's just 2024, and, I don't mind it.
Yeah, so he's a great player, defensive player for LSU, Honey Badger, right? They're calling him the Honky Badger.
And that is the thing. They are actually.
That's hilarious.
I did see that, yeah.
It's a great name.
I think it's freaking awesome.
I think it's great, too.
Speaking of baseball players that we like, Ozzie Albies headed back to the World Series, but not in the way that we may be wanting him to be. So Ozzie, Brent Rooker, and Luis Arraez are going to be World Series correspondents for MLB's Facebook and IG pages.
Huh.
So Ozzie's going to attend Media Day today and then World Series Game 1 tomorrow, and you're going to hear snippets of Ozzie interviewing players and celebrities on MLB's IG page over the next couple of days. So that's going to be pretty cool.
What are your expectations for that? Ozzie's a pretty fun guy.
Oh, Ozzie's great. He's got personality. Yeah. Okay. I think it'll be all right.
Okay.
The thing for me when having those guys do those sorts of roles is I don't want baseball content.
Right, just kind of goofing off, lifestyle stuff.
Because Ozzie's very down to earth, and I think he's easy to talk to. Uh-huh. I don't want...
Well, you've interviewed him.
I have. Yeah. He didn't like my line of questioning.
We did, as long as you were talking about ice cream or whatever the sponsor was.
It was Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen, yeah. I'm actually here to talk about Dairy Queen.
He had one blizzard a day.
A day?
That's what he said.
Wow.
I asked him. He said he had a blizzard. But yeah.
If I had a blizzard a day, I would look very different.
Yes, we all would. That sounds delicious.
It does have
metabolism slows down for everyone at some point.
Every time you get a blizzard, do we all do the same thing? Do you turn it upside down?
No, I've never once done that.
Really? Oh, I do it every time.
I didn't realize until...
Every time.
Because they still do it.
Just to check.
I didn't realize until a couple years ago that was a thing.
What's your go-to blizzard flavor?
I'm boring. Oreo.
That's not boring.
Oreo's not bad.
I love Oreo anything. Cookies and cream, Oreo, just all of it.
I don't like Butterfingers, but I like Butterfinger
Blizzards.
Blizzards
are great. Reese's Blizzards recently, but Heath Bar Blizzards are also great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man, gotta love that toffee.
Yeah, for sure.
Heath Bar, very underrated.
I was anti-Heath Bar for a long time because I thought it said... I didn't realize it was Heath Bar. I thought it was Health Bar. And then I just didn't eat them. I just didn't eat them for like 20 years. That's a Heath Bar? Those are actually pretty good.
How many sales they've missed out on because of dyslexics. Like, that's... Now I'm not getting a Health Bar. I want some candy. I like the Heath Bar Blizzard too, but I can't just eat a Heath Bar for the same reason I don't like Butterfinger. It just gets stuck in your teeth.
It does. That is one bad part.
You got like a mouth guard after you eat that. Anyway.
Speaking of baseball, people that we may or may not necessarily like, Rob Manfred talked to people yesterday.
We're going to test this challenge system in spring training with major league players. And we're going to try to determine whether the system we have is up to snuff to be used by major league players.
We're talking about strikes and balls? We're talking about the strike zone?
We are. Yes. Yeah.
Now, see, I've seen this in live action in AAA. All right. It works.
Yeah.
All right.
It's
so here's
quick.
Rob Manfred's follow-up on that statement.
I think you will see some version of the automated strike zone in the big leagues in the next 4 years.
4 years? Dude, they're going to try it out in spring training. It's going to work. Just do it.
Well, is he talking about two separate things? Because an automated strike zone and a ABS challenge system are two separate things.
But you use the same science.
It does. Challenge system should be implemented next year.
And that's really all they would need to do.
I can't wait to see the first player who uses it on his own accord and the manager's like, hey, we only get two of these a game, man. What you doing?
Oh, right. It's like when every basketball
player. Someone's got a bad eye?
Every NBA player wants to review the play.
Dyson Daniels went up to Quinn Snyder, and Quinn's like,
review it.
Yeah, 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Yeah. You think I'm wasting it now?
We're not reviewing that, man. Or it's 4 minutes into the first quarter, and you definitely didn't get fouled. You just missed the layup, man. Yeah. NBA players love
they
to call
are
for
they
reviews,
do do
right?
that. The players are allowed to call, like the hitter or the pitcher can call for a challenge.
Got it.
That is a good point. Look, do it.
At this point, the toothpaste is out of the tube on technology, replays, all this stuff. You have to use every tool in your disposal.
Unless you're the French Open and you're still getting the judge to step down and look at the ball mark.
Yeah, like it just doesn't make any sense. Either none or all. There's no reason to be in the middle and have non-reviewable and all this stuff. You opened up Pandora's box, so just open it all the way up.
I'm still waiting on the automatic measurement for football. That's the one that.
Yeah, why wouldn't
because
you?
Because how many times would you see
rumors of that happening?
Put a chip in the ball.
A quarterback trying to run a sneak disappears and just to a massive humanity. And you got some guy on the far sideline, like running with his hand in the air. I got the spot right here.
It happened to Georgia on Saturday night.
They had no idea.
Trevor Etienne scored two consecutive touchdowns Texas, but the first one they said didn't because, you know, angles and all that. No, he got in, clearly. It's pretty obvious.
Part of the issue with football is you'd have to time up where the ball is with when you actually think the knee hits, which is its own problem.
I think they can.
Yeah.
But, yeah, figure it out. You have the technology.
So, one more real quick for you. So, here's another baseball guy, Christopher Russo, but he's not actually talking about baseball. He's actually talking about LeBron and Bronny.
Oh, good.
But look.
Oh, good.
He kind of has a point.
Oh, boy.
Calm down. Nobody in America, this might be fun for LeBron. Nobody in America cares that Bronny James played 3 minutes and grabbed one rebound and at 11 o'clock at night in the opener. And this is supposed to be a moment that America is going to resonate with. I mean, come on. I'm being serious now.
I thought it was cool. I live in America.
What do people care more about? The Bronny discussion or anything Mad Dog has said in the last
decade?
The
Fruity Pebbles thing was funny.
Yeah, when they pranked him and put Fruity Pebbles in his car. Look, man, a guy and his son played in an NBA game together. You might not like the guy, and that's fine. And I think that's what it is for a lot of the people. You don't like
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like he played an NBA game with his son. It's cool. It's never happened before.
Definitely did care when the Griffies did it. So
yeah. It's different, and it's okay to say they're different, but I don't think you have to say that it's not. I don't know, man.
It doesn't impact you, bro.
This weird insistence on making sure everyone knows everything sucks is the weirdest world. Like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's fine. It's cool. They played in the same game. Is it the biggest deal ever? No, it's not. But you just don't like the guy, and that's all right. You're not going to like anything he does. Grow up or whatever you need to do.
Or stick to baseball, maybe.
Or stick to whatever. I just like this weird – it's been such a frenzy for people the last 48 hours of being, oh, I have to come up with this cool angle on why this actually sucked. Or you could just be like, no, that was pretty cool. Pretty cool moment. Or maybe you didn't think that.
I don't think people buy pretty cool moments, though. People buy hate for whatever reason these days, and that's kind of
there's a whole this whole economy of hate. Not over here. We're peddling love in the midday. All right,
that's right.
Peddling love in the middays. Dude plays with his son in an NBA game. Stuff's cool. Coach Bohannon coached his sons last night, and they won at Kennesaw State.
Awesome stuff.
It's cool. Quit being a hater. Grow up. We'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.